Welcome back to the Jordan Syatt Mini Podcast, and this is a very different type of episode. It's a debate I had with an Instagram follower of mine who told me that he believes sugar does make you fat and fat burners do actually burn fat. His name is Mark. He's very kind. We had a great discussion and a phenomenal debate. I hope you like it. Please leave a review. Give the show 5 stars if you love it. If you don't love it, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. And well, listen, I don't really know where I'm going with this intro, but I hope you like the debate. Please let me know what you think. I'll talk to you soon.
Hey, Jordan, how's this?
That is amazing. Thank you, dude. And do you want me to read? I have the conversation up if you'd like. I could read what you said, and then we could go from there, if that would work better for you.
Sure.
Okay, amazing.
It works for you.
So basically, you said the post had 3 inaccuracies, and you said the first being sugar doesn't make you fat. You said sugar adds calories to your day that doesn't make you full, thus making you eat more to not be hungry. Sure, you can starve yourself and not get fat, but let's be real, no one does that. Myth equals busted. So do you want to continue on that?
Sure. So, yeah, I mean, I take it back. Some people do starve themselves, and that's great. Personally, I can't starve myself, and I know many people, that's where they mess up, is because they're hungry still. And it's hard to stick to a diet if you put 80 grams of sugar into your body versus putting, you know, 10 from a glass of fruit juice, and you're still hungry because you just consumed, you know, 80 times 4 calories when you could have consumed that in protein and had a filler in you. So that might lead you to eat more protein. And then, you know, you could have just went from, say your maintenance calories was 1,800 calories a day. You just went from 1,800 to now you're consuming, you know, 60 times 4 extra calories on top of that. So now you're in a caloric surplus if you were sticking to your maintenance calories in the beginning.
Got it. I understand. So, and I very much agree, especially from the perspective of protein is going to be way more filling, generally speaking, than, for example, like a cup of orange juice. Like having Greek yogurt with a lot of protein in it is going to be way more filling than, for example, a cup of orange juice, without question, like way more nutrient dense, way more filling, more benefit, especially in terms of body composition, and especially if you have fewer calories to work with. So I very much agree with that. The part that I'm uncertain on here is basically you sort of outline number one that, well, some people will starve themselves, which I think is an important point to consider in terms of when the discussion is, does sugar make you fat? Is sugar the cause of fat gain? Like, does sugar inherently make you gain fat when you keep coming back to calories? When you keep coming back to, well, if you're in a calorie deficit or if you're in a calorie surplus, then you're going to be gaining fat. If you're in a calorie deficit, you're going to be losing fat regardless of whether or not you're eating sugar. So are you saying that sugar definitively makes you fat regardless of where your calories are? Or are you saying that sugar can make it harder sometimes if you're eating a lot of excess sugar and not having an overall nutrient-rich diet that's higher in protein, that it makes it harder to be in a calorie deficit?
I would say for the majority of people, there are an exceptional few. Eating lots of sugar leads you to eat more and be in a calorie surplus. So I'm sure if you want to get technical and say, okay, I can eat 1,600 calories of sugar, I'll be losing a lot of muscle too, you know?
Yeah, yep.
But I will be losing weight in the long run. And, you know, maybe not because you'll be in the hospital, but theoretically, if you wouldn't end up in the hospital and you'd be healthy otherwise, you would still be losing weight.
What?
Now, with eating 1,600 calories worth of pure sugar. So, sugar necessarily makes most people fat. Theoretically, it's not going to make you fat. But in relative real life, it makes people fat.
I'm just a little bit confused because, and it's important, I think, to make distinction between weight loss and fat loss, but I'm just confused in terms of, I actually want to clarify first. I would never ever recommend anybody eat their entire day's worth of calories from sugar, ever. Like, I think that's outrageous. And I think that's what a lot of people do when they try and make an argument against anything, really. But for, in this example, sugar, is like, okay, so like if you were just going to eat your entire calories worth of sugar, it's like, well, hold, like no one is ever, and if they do recommend that, they're an idiot. But my purpose here is to find a way to make sure that people, number one, don't have food anxiety, don't lead to binge eating, and also to make sure that people can live a happier, healthier life while incorporating foods they enjoy without feeling guilty about it. And I think sort of what you said earlier, you were like, you know, no one's going to want to starve themselves. And even though some people can do that, obviously that's not healthy. I think it's the same way in terms of nobody wants to completely restrict their diet to the point where they're not able to enjoy it. And I think by saying something like, well, sugar makes you fat, I think it's disingenuous and it leads people to more food anxiety when even you've said if you're in a calorie deficit, you'll lose fat regardless. And so when you say things like, well, sugar makes you fat, it's like, no, eating too much will make you fat. And if you don't have self-control and if you're not keeping track of your calories, then sugar can make it easier to be in a calorie surplus, which will make you gain fat. But just eating sugar as part of a within your overall healthy diet will not make you gain fat. Do you agree or disagree with that?
So I do agree in moderation, and of course food anxiety is one of the worst things probably that I still go through occasionally. You know, I've gotten a lot better with it over time. And I still, every once in a while, beat myself up like, wow, I shouldn't have had this cheeseburger. And you know what? Progress, it takes time. And it's not, you know, an instant thing. And you can't automatically just cut everything out. If you could, you know, that's, and you're okay with that, you're going to have the max, most, you know, the most results out of anybody that would be cheating on their diet. But, you know what? Moderation is it's definitely key, especially when it comes to enjoying yourself. And, you know, as long as you're not binging out on sugar, you know, you're not going to undo a lot of progress. It's going to hinder you, no matter what. The less healthier foods. Like, I understand sugar is healthy. There's good sugar, like from fruits, which, you know, 4 calories per gram, no matter any way around it. But no matter what, sugar will hinder your progress. It's just to the degree of what you consider acceptable of hindering your progress, I believe. And I think that's kind of what you're trying to get at, too. I could be mistaken, but
it's interesting because I feel like part of you very much believes that the only way to burn fat is to be in a calorie deficit. No, I feel like you very much believe
absolutely
that.
Absolutely not. No.
You don't?
No. Because there's a difference between fat oxidation and a difference between metabolism, which we could get into later with the fat burners if you want, or we could go into depth now.
Well, okay, so if a calorie deficit isn't the only way to burn fat in terms of like losing fat, we'll call it. And I'm not saying utilizing fat as a substrate for exercise. I'm saying lowering your body fat percentage. How else could you lower your body fat percentage outside of a calorie deficit?
Well, you have to be in a calorie deficit, but it goes more in depth than that because somebody that's in a 100 calorie deficit could be losing body weight at a much faster rate than somebody's in.
Body weight or body fat?
Body fat, excuse me, I'm sorry.
You okay.
Could be losing body fat at a much faster rate than somebody else's just because of, you know, there's a lot of supplements out there, like the fat burners. I'm not going to endorse any, but...
Well, let's just stay on sugar right now because I want to get to the fat burners next. But,
okay.
But in terms of, in order to sort of come to a point of agreement, we have to understand, like, either you agree that in order to lower your body fat percentage, you need to be in a calorie deficit, or you
yes.
disagree. Okay,
you
do.
I agree.
Okay, perfect. In that case, do you feel like it follows the same logical line of reasoning to say that if you're in a calorie deficit and you still eat sugar, that you'll continue to burn fat or still lower your body fat percentage?
I would say so, yeah.
Amazing. And literally, like, right there, that's perfect. And I think that's the point of agreement that's important to come across, especially when we're talking about improving people's relationship with food and getting rid of food anxiety, right? Because if someone believes that sugar is inherently bad for them no matter what, and eating sugar will always lead to gaining fat, and it will inhibit their fat loss no matter what, but they're in a calorie deficit, it's going to make it harder for them to actually have a healthy relationship with food. They're going to have food anxiety. They're going to have guilt around it. And again, I would never, ever, ever recommend someone have an entire diet of sugar. I wouldn't recommend that most of their diet comes from sugar. I wouldn't recommend that a major portion of it at all comes from sugar. I would recommend that incorporating it throughout your week in a way that allows you to enjoy your life while continuing to make progress is probably the best, right? It's the most efficient way from a health perspective, also not only physical health, but mental health too. I think it's really an important aspect from the body composition world that a lot of people overlook is the mental side of things. So for you to agree that number one, to lower your body fat, you need to be in a calorie deficit. And number two, even if you're having sugar in your calorie deficit, you'll still lose fat. That's amazing. And what I would clarify, what I really want to make an important point here is that I would never recommend somebody go on a calorie deficit and try and fill up that calorie deficit with Pop-Tarts and sugar cane and just a whole bunch and candy and sweets. I would never recommend that. I think that would be very stupid, especially in a calorie deficit when you really need to be making sure that you're getting a nutrient-rich diet because you're already in a calorie deficit. You're not giving your body as much as it necessarily needs. So I think in a deficit, it makes even more sense to probably have less of that overall. But I think what you said is probably the most important to understand, that even if you do have some, it's not going to inhibit your fat loss as long as you're still in a calorie deficit.
Now, I do want to clarify, though.
Please.
Depending on how much, how much some is, because to some people is a donut a day is going to hinder your progress.
Why?
If you have an extra couple, because it's going to make you, you're going to have emptier calories. So if I'm on it personally, I've been on 1,800 calorie diets in the past, and that would be just at the level where if I eat healthy, if I have chicken, ground chicken, rice, veggies, sometimes occasional fish, steak, I'll be full and I'll be happy with myself. But if I go and I have a donut at work, and then, I come home and I eat my chicken, I'm still going to be hungry. And then the next thing I reach for after my 1,800 calories is going to be, hopefully not, in my case, Cheez-Its.
I love Cheez-Its.
If I reach for a nicer piece of leaner meat, I'd be better off. But you're still going to be over that deficit.
That's right.
Does that make any sense?
That's right. It's the eating too much. It's like you just said at the very end, you're going to be over the deficit. You're going to be in a surplus or at maintenance, or you're not going to be in a deficit anymore. So you're not going to be lowering your body fat anymore. And I think I very much agree with you now. And this is where a lot of the people who only say a calorie deficit matters, they're not telling the whole story. I actually just made a YouTube video on this, my last YouTube video, in terms of the process of lowering your body fat percentage is very simple from the perspective of you need to be in a calorie deficit. But it's not easy from the perspective of you got to deal with things like hunger. You got to deal with things like food anxiety sometimes if people are going through that. You got to deal with social situations. I feel like the argument that sugar makes you fat, that in the sense that you said eating a donut will hinder your progress, you could use the same argument by saying social situations will hinder your progress. Because you go to a social situation and all of a sudden there's more food there and you can't track it, and you're more likely to eat more because there's a buffet of food and it's harder to control. But I think what a lot of people neglect here is that what's still happening is, number one, you could go to a social situation and choose to still stay on track. And number two is, even if you do have that food there, it's not the social situation, it's your decision to then eat the food that's there, or eat too much food, or to not plan beforehand to make up for it. So someone can have a donut, and if it makes them hungrier, they can either say, you know what, I decided to have the donut and now I'm hungrier, so I'm going to eat more because I made that decision and now I'm hungrier. Or they can say, maybe they can plan earlier in the day. They can say, you know what, I'm going to eat more now, or I'm sorry, I misspoke. Maybe they can plan earlier in the day and say, you know what, I'm going to save some calories, for example, for later in the day, so that when I do have that donut, I still have room so that I can eat more after the donut and fill up, if that makes sense. So it's not necessarily the donut, it's the response after the donut. It's like, is that hunger after the donut going to cause you to eat more? Or are you maybe going to be better at planning it? Or maybe, for example, you're like, you know what? Like, I know I'm at maintenance. I'm going to do an extra 30 minutes of walking today so that I can make sure that I'm still in a deficit. And all of a sudden, like, maybe you can still eat more and still be in that deficit. And that's the point that we keep coming back to, is the deficit, right? It's like, no matter what happens. And I think what's really interesting and I appreciate you being open and forthright about the food anxiety aspect of it, because I think a lot of people don't discuss it, where it's like, the more we can get people to understand, it's not the sugar, it's your relationship with sugar, and it's the decisions you make from after having the sugar, or planning or not planning. The more we can improve people's relationship with food, the less likely they are to binge, the less likely they are to go over their calories. And that's really one of my main goals. So I think we came to a good consensus on that. And I appreciate you being forthright and having that discussion. Now, let's talk about fat burners, because I think this is it's a heated topic. I don't think it's actually spoken about enough. I know you said you believe that fat burning pills do work. So talk to me about that.
So, first off, I want to get started by saying there is a difference between weight loss and fat loss.
Correct.
So you could lose, you know, you could be losing weight at a rate of 50% body fat, and then you could also be losing weight at a rate of 75% body fat. It all depends on, you know, a lot of things, hormones, chemicals you're putting in your body, supplements, sometimes how lean your food is. You know, there's also a lot of things we don't know about it, because if we did know everything, it would be a fine cut definition, you know?
And especially because when we're talking about fat burners, that's a type of supplement that the FDA specifically classifies as, like, they don't regulate it. So there's a lot we don't know, for sure. Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah, we don't even know what's going in these things, to be honest. Unless they're tested by consumer labs or some similar organization, we don't have a surefire way of knowing what we're putting in our bodies. I know a lot of things. Like, when I was going shopping for probiotics, I was looking up the potency of ones that I purchased, and it turned out that they actually had lawsuits because they were putting in chopped walnuts and stuff like that. This is a really major corporation. They're putting in chopped walnuts. People are having allergic reactions to the fillers that were in the probiotics, and they wouldn't put that on the labels.
I had never heard of that, but that's crazy. That's nuts. Yeah. But so talk to me about the fat burner specifically, because you do believe that fat burners do burn fat. Is that correct?
Yes. Some of them. I mean, of course, you know, some of them aren't going to work because we don't, you know, they don't put the right things in there or whatever it is that. Since it's unregulated, we can't, you know, have control over what's in there.
So which fat burners do you think actually burn fat?
So without going into brand names, I'm going to say there's different kinds of fat burners. So, you know, you have caffeinated pills, which are just going to, you know, they're going to put you in a calorie deficit slightly more than if you didn't take them.
Interesting.
They're going to curb your hunger, which is also... There's a lot of things. So fat loss, it also has to do with hormones. And, you know, when you're not eating, your hormones start to, you know, your cortisol rises, and you got a lot of hormone action going on there, as well as not taking any extra calories. And this can be said for a bunch of things, not just caffeine. So, you know, a popular one, I just seen a lawsuit today on the internet. It was something for DMHA, which is, it's a stimulant, and it's kind of on the borderline of being banned. It hasn't been banned yet. It's a lot of pre-workouts, and what that does is, of course, it raises your... I'm not 100%. I'm not a chemist, so I don't know. It only raises your heart rate. It curbs your appetite, and that's obviously going to affect your hormones because you're putting a drug into your body. So the exact, you know, I don't know the exact percentage of what that specific pill is going to burn compared to taking something that we haven't really looked too much into, like a CLA pill or something that may help, may not help. A stimulant is going to help. Now, mentally, is it helping? Maybe, maybe not. Physically, it's helping. So kind of like what we went back to before, you know, the mental aspect of it is super important. And you're right. You can't stress that enough. It's more important to enjoy yourself than to sit there and beat yourself up over having a cheeseburger. And in the long run, too, maybe you will lose more weight in the long run. But...
Got it. Okay. So I guess... I just want to stay on track with the – because I could not agree more in terms of the healthy relationship with food, and I think you and I are really super on the same page with that. I'm very interested in the specifically fat-burning pills burn fat. And I think before before we can even really dive deep into that, the first question that I really want to understand is, if someone can say fat burning pills do burn fat, I guess the first question logically would have to be, well, which chemical within those pills is burning fat?
Right.
So do you know like which chemicals are burning fat?
So specifically, a brand of supplements that I personally like to use, because they use clinical amounts of each dose that they use. They claim Moringa burns fat, but I do have a couple studies actually that are done.
Are you pulling them up right now?
Yeah.
Got it. Okay. So do you have any other chemicals that burn fat?
As far as like CLAs, there have been some studies that have shown that they do. There's also been some studies that they don't. And you know, like especially one of the things is people who gain weight with antipsychotic meds and antidepressants, CLAs has been clinically shown to help decrease fat in those people. Now, in a healthy, otherwise healthy, obese adult, they haven't been shown to clinically reduce fat. So, do we need to do more research? Absolutely, before we could come to a definite conclusion of what black and white, what is it going to burn fat, what isn't going to burn fat.
Okay, so a couple things. In terms of like the CLA, for example, I'm happy to send you any studies you'd like, but there are zero, literally zero, peer-reviewed, double-blind, controlled trials that show CLA actually burns fat. Like, there's zero, absolutely, and I'm happy to send you the research on that if you'd like. If you happen to have a double-blind, controlled trial showing that it does, I would love to see it. To my knowledge, there's literally zero proving that at all. What I think is really important to discuss here in terms of fat burning pills, if you take a fat burning pill and you're in a calorie surplus, are you still burning fat? And by burning fat, I want to clarify, if you take a fat burning pill and you're in a calorie surplus, are you lowering your body fat percentage?
Absolutely not. You have to be in a calorie deficit no matter what.
I love it. And that's without question the most important, I want to be very honest with you. I'm very impressed and I appreciate how logically consistent you're being with that, because a lot of people are not. So thank you. Go on. You're going to say something else.
But now there's different percentages that you can burn. So if you, like I said earlier, as long as you're in a calorie deficit, bottom line, and you're taking a fat burn supplement, you might be burning 67%. Somebody that's not taking a supplement might be burning 63%. Just...
Could you explain that a little bit more? 67 versus 63% of what?
Of pound, per pound lost will be body fat.
Interesting. Were those numbers that you've taken from research?
So, I did have the articles, and now I'm having trouble finding them because I switched computers.
Okay, so...
Those specific numbers, I just use it as pure examples.
Got it, those are examples. Okay.
Yeah.
Those are hypothetical. Okay, so are you saying that taking a fat-burning pill can help you if you're in a calorie deficit, maybe like to help you further?
Yes.
Okay, got it. That we can go from there. How would it help you in terms of, let's say you're in a calorie deficit, you're taking a fat-burning pill. How does it help?
So there's multiple ways. Like I said earlier, curbing your hunger, raising your heart rate to increase your metabolism. Caffeine, there's some studies that say, yes, caffeine does increase fat oxidation. There's some that say caffeine does not increase fat oxidation. Now, just like, I don't know, you know about fasted training, obviously. I know for a fact you know about fasted.
Yes.
Now, fasted training is actually proven to burn more fat than regular training, as long as you're in the calorie deficit, like I said.
Well, so you said something earlier in the conversation. I just want to – you said there's a difference between lowering your body fat percentage and using fat as a substrate. And so – and that's really where this comes into a very important aspect of the fasted cardio. Are you saying that fasted cardio lowers your body fat percentage better, or you use more fat as a substrate?
You use more fat as a substrate. Thank you for correcting me.
Okay, perfect. It's important to clarify, especially because like a lot of people hear burn fat or like they hear use fat as a substrate, or they hear and they just immediately equate it to they're lowering their body fat percentage. And it's I think you're 100% right that when you're doing fasted cardio, you're using fat more efficiently as a substrate rather than pulling from other stores. That being said, as I'm sure you know, at the end of the day, if you're not in a calorie deficit, the net total, you will not have lowered your body fat percentage. Do you agree with that?
Exactly.
Amazing. Yep. So, and I think that's where a lot of people get confused with the fasted cardio argument, is they think, oh, well, you're using more fat for energy. Like you're pulling from your fat stores more. So that means that it's going to be better for lowering your body fat percentage. But they miss out on the entire point that even if you do fasted cardio and you use more fat from a substrate perspective, at the end of the day, if your net calorie deficit is equivalent, it doesn't matter if you've done it or not, which is like the most important point of that. Do you agree?
Yes.
So then going back into the fat burning pills, I think what's a really important aspect of this to differentiate between is fat burning pill, or for example, something that will lower your body fat percentage, versus a thermogenic.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
So, yeah. When I said fat burning pills, I meant thermogenics. I didn't mean, you know. Yeah, absolutely.
So this is one of the reasons why I'm glad we got on the phone and spoke about this, because taking a pill and saying, when people buy quote unquote fat burners, they think they're buying a pill that is literally going to reduce their body fat percentage. That's what they believe. And that's why I say fat burners don't actually burn fat, because people are going into a GNC or a vitamin shop or whatever and buying these supplements that say fat burner on it, because they legitimately believe that taking that pill is going to literally reduce their body fat percentage. When in reality, number one, as you and I both know, and we've said numerous times, it's not going to lower their body fat percentage unless they are in a calorie deficit, number one. And I think actually going back into it, actually we'll continue on that line of thought. In terms of thermogenics, it can increase your metabolism, right? It can increase your ability to burn calories, which can then burn fat. But what people don't realize is that even if your metabolism is increased, even if you are burning more calories, number one, we have to look at how much. Like how many extra calories are you actually burning in all of this? And number two is, if you don't realize that the calorie deficit is still the most important part and you're eating more while you're still taking those, it's not going to have a net effect. It's not going to have a net positive effect towards fat loss. Do you agree?
Yes.
So this is where the reason I say fat burners don't actually burn fat, because it's not going to lower your body fat percentage unless you are in a calorie deficit, and that's going to come from managing your nutrition above all else. And of course, it can come from exercise too, but if you're not in a calorie deficit, the fat burner pill doesn't actually work, which is, in my mind, if I'm thinking something works, then that thing will work, period, end of story, regardless of anything else going on in your life, if that makes sense.
I absolutely agree with you.
Got it. I love it, man. Is there anything else that you wanted to clarify or say?
No. You covered everything.
Well, Mark, this has been great. Do you want me to put your Instagram handle in here so people can follow you if you'd like?
Sure. Doesn't matter to me.
Sure. Okay. Do you want to say it?
Sure. It's _Mark_Ogden_.
Amazing. _Mark_Ogden_ again?
Yep.
Amazing. Mark, thank you so much. This was a pleasure. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Jordan. I really look forward to this.
Thank you, man. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.